And you can imagine we're just, we'll not need anymore any like physical work with robots, right? Because robot will change us, will switch to us for themselves. And this is really a futuristic question. What is our purpose to be existed like a humanity? What we
I
are going
know,
to do?
right?
And this is really interesting, in my opinion,
Do you
to
have an
think
answer to
about.
that? Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, SPULLEN@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Welcome to the Winner's Circle, a series where we spotlight the founders, innovators, and visionaries building tomorrow's breakthrough companies. I'm your host, Kyle. Today's guests hail all the way from Dubai, a city that's becoming the geographic center for tech startups. Joining me today is Roman Siganov, founder of Antix, a platform that's revolutionizing content creation with AI-powered digital twins and agents. With a background that includes building technology for HBO, Warner Brothers, and gaming giants like FIFA and PUBG, Roman brings a unique perspective on where entertainment technology converge. Alongside him is Numan Arshad, founder of Bequantum AI, who's working on the critical challenge of securing our digital future against quantum threats. Together, they're tackling one of the most pressing problems in AI. How do we trust what we see when anyone can generate photorealistic content in seconds? Their soon-to-be-announced partnership combines Antix content creation platform with quantum-grade security, blockchain verification, and a marketplace that could fundamentally change how creators monetize their digital identity. Let's dive in. What made you guys decide to go to Dubai?
Do you know, I think this is really great spots. Yeah, I think this really great spots to be like middle of different markets if you're like working global. Because we do think this really good entrance for like Asian market to Europe market and US market as well. Like geographically, it's easier to like travel around so like this different part of the globe, right?
Yeah.
And also you are sitting on the one spot and everyone is coming to Dubai for transfer or for the 1 hour, whatever. And you easily can get some like meetings, etc.
Ah, okay. So I never thought of that as being like the geographic center. I know that the U.S. has always had some like, I guess, advantages by having access to like both oceans, but never thought, I guess as like the world is getting smaller and smaller and as like, you know, travel gets bigger and easier. Yeah. A place like Dubai is probably pretty central these days, huh?
It's very central.
Definitely.
Well, so yeah. Just to add to what Roman said, mine was purely by accident, you know, and I mean, growing up in North America, you hear all these things about the Middle East and this and that. And I think I had a stopover. And it was just pure by luck. And I walked outside. I'm like, what is this place? This does not look like, you know, I'm thinking Canadian buses were advanced and aircraft and North American airports were advanced. And I landed here. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is very different. So it was kind of the same feeling I had when, you know, when you go to San Diego and you're like, wow, I want to move here. This is a wonderful place. But I always thought I'd move to the West Coast to do some sort of a business startup, but it ended up in the Middle East. It was very interesting. So Dubai turned out to be a very exciting place, especially with the taxes. You know,
oh, God,
it was hard to calculate.
That.
Yeah, it was hard to calculate in Canada. The taxes were quite high, as you know. And then, you know, if you sell your principal residence there and you're in Dubai and then you're like, well, hang on. So if I sell something, the commission 100% goes to my pocket? Really? How does that work?
What?
So it was
That's,
crazy.
You can do
and
that?
Back then, when I set up my business, there was like zero taxes for business. Now it's, then it went 5%. It's like, I think it's 9% now, but it was very, very exciting. So anyway, those different reasons why we ended up in the same place, but I'm loving it. It's a wonderful place.
So how did you two meet then?
Roman?
We had like one of the strong partnership with the local royal family in Emirates. And like we are did an announcement in social media and in media in general, and also we organized like events. Mm-hmm. When one of good friend of mine like introduced us with Nauman and also with others, like with whom right now we're like building something new or collaborating, or like we're doing some business together, right? Or some co-investments, whatever. So, and this is actually how we met during of our royal family partnerships in Emirates.
That was just last year, wasn't
like
it?
Monarchy. I would say, yeah, last year.
I think correct. I saw the announcement on LinkedIn. Yeah, when you guys met like the crown princess, or that must have been pretty neat.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. And I mean, I think the dynamic of this place is it's like the energy that used to be in the 90s, I guess, in Silicon Valley, the electricity, and just it's so vibrant. You meet people from so many backgrounds. And, you know, when you talk about business, there's so many new things that come up. So when we met, I was invited to the event with the royal family, and we went and met there, and it was a lovely event, and I was very impressed with the software, with these avatars and systems, and I just got intrigued by it, and then we started talking and went from there.
Well, we should probably talk a little bit about what you guys are doing then. So I know that you're with, is it bequantum.ai? And then
bequantum.ai.
Bequantum.ai, thank you. And then, Roman, you've got Antix, which is a marketplace, and it looks like you guys deal with a lot of AI agents and other creative-type stuff. So, I mean, I know that we had talked a lot about security on, like, the pre-call, and we'll get into that lately, and I'm guessing that's why you brought your friend in here to kind of help talk about what you guys are doing to make these things a little bit more secure. But before we dive into, like, what you guys are doing now, let's talk about what you guys did before. Like, how did you get into or interested in this space? Like, what path led you to the starting of Antix?
Yeah. You know, the first idea for digital twins became, like, in 2013.
Oh, that old?
That old, the first idea. But technology not been ready yet, like, at all.
Yeah.
And the first, I would say, digital, like, avatar took almost in a year for developments, a year, like a lot. And a lot of like technical stuff, technology behind for this like digital twins have been in the past. Then we're speed up process for 1 month, 1 week, and now we're creating digital twins like for a couple of seconds.
I just did one in like a couple clicks the other day. It's like, oh my God, how is this possible?
yeah, correct. And this like a long journey behind of it. And during this journey, I had several companies in the row when I've been one of the co-founder with Private Exit, when we worked mostly in entertainment space, like with HBO, Warner Brothers, Tencent for biggest AAA titles like Game of Thrones, FIFA, PUBG, World of Tanks, and other like I would say AAA games and TV shows.
Yeah,
so. This is exactly how I came to the industry. Like before that, I've been an artist with like global, like I would say like titles, achievements in this industry. My work like have been displayed on Times Square in New York, in Tokyo, in Beijing, in China, like in multiple places on the big corner screens, like on the big squares.
Did you ever like go up there and like see your work like on a screen like that? Tell me what that feels like.
Honestly, I felt like, okay, that's cool. Let's move on forward like this because,
you're not really much of a pass guy.
Correct. I'm just have a passion to move on forward all the time. Like, okay, this is stuff we're achieved. Let's move on forward. And this is really driving me like to achieve more and more stuff for company, for partners, for investors. And all of these things has really like given me a big motivation to move on forward. With initial idea where everyone is around told me like, digital what the crazy things you are talking about? digital twin, what are the purpose? What are the utility of these things? And now like people are asking me, wow, it's like really something really interesting. And I can see all of like year by year, we can see more and more interest from the people about this technology and more people understanding, wow, now I get the points.
Yeah.
Why you did it or why you are doing it right now.
Wow, that's got to be pretty validating, huh?
Yeah.
I was amazed when I saw the digital twins and the different things that came out, and it was so real, so realistic. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is a whole different world out there. This is from coming from the VIC 20 days when it was little pixels that we had in the little. Yeah, and playing Mario and stuff, and it wasn't the same 2D.
8-bits content.
Yeah, it's so impressive. Asteroids, you know, it's Pac-Man. But anyway, it's so impressive what they've accomplished.
I was actually surprised to see that you're using the Unreal Engine for the graphics. I did not realize that Unreal was still like the standard. I know that was like big like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Do you know, first of all, we're switched to another technology.
Oh, yeah.
We're just launched on October a new platform. Mm-hmm. The name of the platform is AIGE, like AIGE, where you can generate any type of content. And we are just removed Unreal from our pipeline. We created our own like proprietary AI generating system and agents for different things, for images, for the flow of trends from social media, to grab these trends from TikTok, Instagram, and Pinterest, and so on and so forth. And Unreal is already past. Do you know what? We're just moving so fast, and we had no time to update technical things on our main page. Yeah. Huh.
All right. Yeah, the world is moving quick, isn't it? Roman, you mentioned the background and like the as an artist. So like at what point did you recognize that AI is going to be, I guess, its potential in your field?
Really quick for what reason? First of all, I've been really big fan of procedural systems. This is where you just need to press one button and you are getting results before AI era just came to us. And we did a lot for our pipeline with exact technology, where we're just created optimized way to produce something, to produce content, to produce digital twins or assets for games or TV shows, whatever. And it's been always my passion to optimize the way to like be still consistent with quality of the contents, but fast as rockets. And this is really something interesting for me. And then I recognized, okay, now we're in the era with real-time contents, with Unreal Engines. Right after that, when I just saw first technology with machine learning, I would say, I recognized, okay, this is a new future. Because Google have been afraid to name it like and to call it AI or artificial intelligence, because a lot of people have been afraid of these terms. Oppositely, about machine learning, this like machine learning something. Okay, this like not something really
machine
scary.
Learning sounds less Terminator 2.
yeah, correct. So for this era, we recognize more and more content like what we have already AI generators, right? And the quickness of production of this content is like insane. It's like seconds, rather than before, where like spend it almost in a year to produce like big title or big like production, whatever.
Yeah.
And now we face with another problem. 42% of the people are afraid of deep fakes and AI generated content because of security. Mm-hmm. And this is why quantum layer is coming really important in this case, because like security and privacy also changing constantly. And I think now I have more information about that, like how exactly like government are thinking about this, how they're preparing themselves. And definitely companies also have to prepare themselves from this type of attacks, right? And this type of like security for the content and digital twins as well.
So, let me see. There's going to be a lot of questions in there, but I'm not sure how I want to structure that first. So maybe we'll just start with letting Newman here kind of speak towards, I guess, what sort of steps you are taking to secure these products then. Or maybe we should talk about how quantum, I guess, computing has made the need for security like even more dire. Right? I mean, because the old encryption standards, I think, are not going to be sufficient anymore once quantum like really starts to take off or become more accessible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was already going much faster with all the computing with the GPUs. You know, Jensen Huang did a great job with his GPUs, and then he created these libraries to accelerate things. And, you know, those GPUs he gave to the AI community, and then they started doing the AIs. These two alone were quite powerful in the security area, where you had to improve your security because the GPUs are getting more powerful, AI is getting more powerful. And now to add to that, the quantum computing that's coming up here, which is very exciting because each serves a different purpose. And with the quantum computing coming on strongly and the combination of AI and the GPUs, but mostly quantum computing, it's going to break the elliptic curve kind of algorithms that are there that are used in the banking, in the blockchains, and the various other things that we use in the internet. The whole internet's going to go through a transformation, and we have to add the security. It's kind of very exciting. It's when I was telling you earlier, I was working on operating systems and adding at that time IPv4 as a stack to an operating system to make it connected, and with just a few computers. This is, I think, 1990 something. And then we were building up embedded devices that would be connected to the internet, and IP phones were coming out, and it was like the early, early days of the internet. So it was exciting. And then, you know, web pages, who needs a web page? And then all of a sudden, you know, it went all over the place. And then now with quantum computing, what's so special about it is, like, you know, in regular computing, you've got the bits, you know, you can represent things on or off, zero or ones. And if you have three bits, you have 2^power of number bits states. So you have 2^3 states. You have 8 states. Okay, 2 times 2 is 8. So you have 8 states with 3 bits. Now, if you have something what's in quantum, you call it qubits. It's instead of a on or off state, it could be 1, 0, or both at the same time. That's hard to understand, but there's an analogy that they use all the time on the web. It's basically when you're flipping a coin in the air, okay? So when you flip it and it lands on your hand, you've got either a heads or a tail. But when you're flipping in the air and it's flipping really fast, what state is it in? It's hard to stop it because both the heads and the tails at the same time.
That's kind of a superposition of both.
Superposition. Dude, man, you know it's good. So that's really what it is. And that superposition element makes it very exciting. So for example, now if you have 3 qubits, you know, you have that many states, and it's like it's exponentially more states you can do. So it's like the 8 states you had.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is it just like the on, off, and whatever, the combination, or is there flavors of that or like gradients of that? So there's more than, instead of just 3 states, like you really have like a really large number of states because you can kind of have like a I guess, like if it's 95% chance of tails versus 5% chance of heads, like that's a different state than 50-50, right?
Well, it's again, it's just exactly to say it's 0, 1, or the superposition state of both
the superposition
at the same time, okay? And then it resolves itself. I mean, we're talking about, I think it's, I don't know if it's microseconds or milliseconds, how long a qubit can go and hold that state until it resolves itself or it does something different. So this is what it is. So the analogy, what I like to give is if you had those 8 states, like 1, 0, 0, 0, you know, 0, 0, 1, and 0, 0, 1, 0, all those states that go down to 8 of them, you have to sequence through them one by one. Whereas with 3 qubits, you could do all 8 simultaneously at once. Yeah, that's the way it works, basically, because it has that superposition state. So, for example, now if I had a key, if I had bringing it to the security element, right, and why it's so dangerous from that perspective. So if I had a key, it's a 256-bit key. So instead of 3 bits, it's 256-bit key, okay? And instead of expressing it with binary ones and zeros in traditional computing, I'm representing it with quantum bits, which are qubits, and I have 256 of those. So basically, it's every single combination permutation you can think of that, you go through it simultaneously, and you can actually calculate the key and break it. I'm sure I'm simplifying it and probably bastardizing it from the physics guys are probably gonna go crazy over it. But that's a similar analogy. What it is, it basically can do that all at once. It's like if you had they were saying something like there was computation elements that it does where it would take in like septillion billion or something years, it did it in 5 minutes. It's unbelievable. So quantum computing is great for complex problems, but it may not be the best for example, heavy data processing, which would still be GPUs. And it wouldn't be still good at surfing the net, which would still be your CPUs. So I envision a state where you're going to have CPUs, you have your GPUs, you have your QPUs when they get stabilized, it'll be all different things for different functions. So that's why quantum is so powerful. It can break keys. And again, I think there's a Shor's algorithm. It affects the elliptic curve algorithms when you sign things. So hence NSA and NIST, they came out with new cryptography. So there's Crystal Kyber, which is the encryption protocol. And then there's Dilithium for the signature. So it's equivalent. Today's day, it's AES and SHA, for example. So yeah, it's going to replace those. I think AES is still good post-quantum, but post-quantum encryption elements are these that I mentioned. And there's more, I'm sure, coming in. It might still change beyond this. It's just been formalized recently, I think, as of last year in the standards.
So, yeah, but you know what is interesting? I'm thinking just when we need to have a really fast search in social media, right, to find and recognize exact like content or person, like identity, quantum is coming like really powerful and interesting.
So you don't have to do all those indexings anymore now.
Correct. And you can recognize really fast, like, okay, this is like a fake or not. This is like something who is trying to scam people, or there's not real person behind of it. And for that, definitely most like powerful to use quantum on the backends as well to like catch these things.
It's for its speed of analysis and less for its, I guess, validation necessarily. Like it's so quick and so able to do so many tests simultaneously that it's much easier to use that to say, oh, look at all these different key indicators on this video. Tell me if it's real or not. Like it's more suited to that, you're saying. Okay. I think I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is how we're thinking about quantum integration. Just to clarify, we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. We're working on it because quantum is still like, I would say, not so developed and like adopted for consumers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can see more and more capability to bring it on the table for real technology, which is already working in the web. So, and this is why I think this is really powerful combination between AI, blockchain, and quantum.
Yeah.
It's like in new layers of multiple things. It's like a basic things, and we're using all of them to predict like direction of the markets and to be, I would say, faster with this type of technology and adoption.
Hmm.
Because it's really important to be like, I would say, in the row with others to be competitive with them, with not only with products, but also with technology behind to be, I would say, in avant-garde of these things.
Mm-hmm. So going back then to, I guess, the state of the quantum computing industry then, like where are we at right now? What do we have that like prototypes or actually working machines? Like what is actually out there and being used today?
I think there's a lot of governments that have done research in quantum computing. It's just like AI. It's quite exponential and much faster than people expect. Some people are thinking it's maybe 10 years away or something like that. But I think if you look at Google, there was Microsoft and AWS. I think they all have chips now. They have different approaches of how they're trying to solve quantum. Now it's still at a state where you have to be in an extremely cold environment to be able to have it. Keep stable because the qubits are, and they have a certain amount. But there's, I think, a company called Alice and Bob or something that give, instead of it being in microseconds or milliseconds or microseconds, how long it stays, it's an hour it could stay. Now imagine a qubit being able to, it's exponential how it's gone much bigger. And I think we're around 100 qubits, which is quite powerful. And I think the processing it does is already in a supremacy level in terms of computing. So, and imagine as it continue to develop this, just like the microprocessor developed, with the Moore's law with doubling every 18 months, this is a whole different level, but it's going to be exponential in this case. So it's in a state where I think it's real. And why I say it's real is because one, you have standards boards like the NSA and the CNSA and then NIST recognizing it and then having recognized it. And I think it was a couple of years ago where you had the thought leaders, the industry in the cryptographic field to come up with new algorithms to try to address the threats of it. And then I also track it from the, because I'm, you know, an engineer, I track it from the software and the hardware level, especially the chipsets. When you start talking to chip providers, you see people that are doing the foundries of the chips. It costs a lot of money to make these chips. And when they start embedding post-quantum cryptography in these chips, there's a company, I think, out of Swiss, IDQ, and they put the encryption, like a quantum random number generator, for example, for making stronger keys and other elements. So when you start doing things like this, you know that it's becoming more and more real. And you'll find that it'll be very exponential how people pick up on this.
So the I was looking at your website as we're preparing for this this recording, and one of the things that was on there, you talked about cold wallets for storing your crypto using quantum encryption. Is that a thing now then? Because I think you mentioned 256 bits of, like, or qubits of encryption on the wallets.
Well,
but you just said, like, the highest computer is only 100. So, like, what's explain to me the difference between there. Like, what am I missing on?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different elements, okay? So when I talk about a quantum wallet, it's the QRNG, quantum random number generator.
Okay.
So when you look when you look at the Intels and the NXPs and the other Infineons and the other chipsets, they have these true random number generators. In the old days, they had no security. It was very different. Then as you follow the chipset architectures, they started adding these trusted platform modules or the security elements. You have a trusted boot. So as soon as the instruction it started executing from the first execution, you start booting it. You do a hash algorithm to verify the code that you've loaded there is actually your code. Now, a lot of people didn't do that for security. It was always a bolt on afterwards. But now you got to have that core, the security built in. So for our wallet today, the wallets, they work with a random number generator that generates your private key and your public key. Okay. So your private key, and then use it to get your public key. And that is good, but it's still not random enough. Okay.
Right.
It's not random enough.
Randomness has always been difficult to get in programming.
It's definitely
remember that.
So with the QRNG, what it does is it really makes it random. And that's where the beauty of it comes. So it's like you having a password. I'm just making this up, but like if you had a password like ABC123 using a random number generator, well, the one, the QRNG is much more complex and very hard to break. So if you make a key using a QRNG, that's the first step. So you make it quantum by making a very, 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 very strong key that you keep in a secure element on the device, and it never leaves that secure element. That secure element is done in a way where it's certified by common criteria, EAL level, 4, 5, 6. These are security levels of robustness and security that are with NSA, and you've got the FIPS 140 for the encryption. So the one is generating the key. Then when you communicate with something, it's the encryption protocols. We use AES. Used to be, 128 was good enough, and then that's not good enough. Then it's AES 256. That's still good enough. And I believe AES 256 may be still okay post-quantum. But then it's the hashing algorithms that are used, the signatures with the SHA and elliptic curve-based algorithms are the ones that are compromised by Shor's algorithm, where it can break that. So that, what the NIST and NSA and all these guys, what they did was crystal Kyber for the encryption, okay? And then they have the SHA algorithm. These are algorithms that they're post-quantum. They're not necessarily quantum, but they're post-quantum proof algorithms that support.
Okay.
But the quantumness comes from the random number generator.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I think I'm following you on that. Ready to nerd out on the tech shaping tomorrow? Voices of Blockchain, the official podcast of Boston Blockchain Week 2025, is back for season 2. We're featuring pioneers rocking Web3, AI, and blockchain innovation. So get the scoop on the people powering the next wave of innovation by subscribing now wherever you get your podcasts. And join us for the fun in September at bostonblockchainweek.com for the killer talks, epic vibes, and top-tier networking. And if you happen to run into me or my wife, come see us, because we probably have unused drink tickets. Eric, why should people listen to season 2?
I'm really excited for season 2, because what's interesting is that we talked about the founding of America. We set that foundation. And now we're going to watch America try and build a house. that will become divided and burned down.
And, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly.
Yeah, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly. It's going to end with the nation ripping itself apart, the founding of the best Virginia, and, you know, the suspending of habeas corpus. about as broad as you get it. But what's going to be cool is what emerges from season two is the foundation for the world's largest, most advanced economy.
You visit the website, buckstartsherepodcast.com, to stay up to date. We'll see you all next week.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Why don't we dive into a little bit more than I guess what you're doing over at Antics? And we talked a bit about the AI agents and kind of teased a little bit about the marketplace, but I think there's a lot more that you guys are doing over there that we haven't really touched on yet.
Yeah, this really interesting topic, by the way. First of all, how I mentioned before, digital twins itself, like this is a big, heavy tech behind of it. And this is really complex based on like different, I would say, models with visual, with text, with audio, with actions and all of these things, right? To bring a knowledge to this digital twin, to be consistent with visuals and with lip sync, right? And we are just developed several agents who is first of all creating the contents based on like AI model, like images where it's like looks like you on the image. Then you can particularly change the details of this digital twin based on prompts or your request by voice, because AI agent can speak with you like in real time, and she is understanding what exactly you are asking, like what are the background, what are the angle you would like to change, like what are the panel you would like to open for yourself. And also she is tracking another layer of her, she is tracking trends from social media, like what's happening in TikTok for today, what's happened like 7 days back, what market you are like working on, to recommend you exact contents for your social media or exact goals what you would like to achieve
like
with this content.
Marketers, the helpers, then this isn't just an agent, this is like an actual, like,
yes,
hey, I need help with my social media presence, it can help me do that. Oh wow,
exactly. You are connecting your social media. She is tracking what exactly you had in the past, which type of mistakes you have in your tone of voice or the brands or your personal tone of voice. She is tracking trends from social media, what is hooky things right now, what are the like hype arounds, right? And what is visual language should be for your particular contents. And based on this recommendation, you are just playing around with this AI agent and with your team members, because we also do have like a layer of mood boards where there's like a similar with Miro.com, if you're familiar with these products. There's like a big mood board where you can bring like different notes, text, images, connect them with like arrows, etc., with the team members. It's like working in the clouds. And we have the same layer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can get my team together and we can all have like a basically a project hub where we can kind of like coordinate and work together and everyone can see what we're doing.
Yeah. Awesome. We're providing it for our, I would say, premium subscribers, for premium subscription. But we do have this like layer. And other thing where you can use like editing modes for video and presets where AI agent just collecting different data. And for you, it just needs to choose which type of presets you would like to use, which is already like prepared for your needs and for your like socials.
Right.
In this case, you just need to upload one picture of yours. You're choosing presets or one preset and counting is done. Then you're just switching to the video file where you're getting like video with your voice, lip sync, or with your movements, end of the days. And like any particular images, videos have blockchain verification, which just means this like a big NFT collection technically. This looks like images and videos, but which you can check on the chain, which is real or not, based on special like products or person behind it. And so to verify this...
Let me just clarify on that. So if I see something like getting promoted on Twitter or TikTok that's like a person that I recognize, I can go to the blockchain and look to see if this was an AI agent and then actually see, like basically verify that, yes, this was content that was approved by such and such person.
Exactly. But then we're facing with another problem where like in general content can be like the same with I would say generally, but if you will see particularly, maybe someone changed, I don't know, a part of text or a part of like a label for like changed logotype or whatever, it's already considered like fake.
Yes.
And you will see which part exactly been changed, right?
Oh.
For example, yeah, you have like several layers for like visual, audio, text, and video. And if all of these layers are not, I would say, have verification, you will get these penalties or mm-hmm. you will get this like restriction, I would say. Like, look, three of them is like real, but one of them is fake. And this is exactly what's. And then the case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what is interesting points? We also recognize like the most powerful industry with IP rights right now, this Hollywood for sure, and also like music industry, where you will use whatever music in social media and you will get restrictions like that.
Others,
distributors will get like revenue from that if they are allowed to use this audio, right? And we're recognized people with their identity have to have the same, where if someone upload your image, they're getting a restriction or video because you are not allowed to use your face for some purpose.
Right.
But if you're allowed to use that, then you will get like get paid by revenue stream because someone using your face for advertisement in special boundaries, which you're allowed to use. I would say if you're allowed to use it for, I don't know, special like style of trading, right? Or for special markets, and others who is producing this content will try to produce content outside of these boundaries, they will get restrictions. This is really interesting point when we're touching digital identity.
Yes.
Where this agents helping you to get money passively and also produce this type of content and to bring, I would say, new era of digital identity to the virtual space, which is really interesting, in my opinion.
That's actually one of the questions I had when it related to security then, because I think we're all familiar with like ChatGPT. There was a point when people were basically like tricking the model into giving it answers to stuff it was not allowed to answer. So like, I want to know how to make a bomb. Well, it won't tell me how to make a bomb, but if I say you're a screenwriter and you're writing a scene of a guy who's making a bomb, then like you can trick it into doing that. Like, what sort of things, I guess, are you doing, or what sort of how do those guardrails work that prevent my AI agent from going outside of those things that I don't want it to do?
Yeah. First of all, we have two layers. First layer is KYC process on the marketplace, where if you are head KYC, you are getting like special badge on the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the content which is produced under your accounts or from the accounts who is rented to your digital identity, all of them going to get verification badge. If someone just copied yourself to produce this type of contents, they will have no this type of badge. This is first like verification.
Mm-hmm.
Second verification, this is like a knowledge of this AI agents with exact like tricks what you are mentioned before. But do you know what? Already like ChatGPT also, they have really, I would say, strict boundaries for this type of tricks.
Yep.
Now you cannot use this tricks.
Right, yeah.
It's been like, it works like year back, but not now.
Yeah.
Now it's like impossible.
That's why I use that example. I don't want to give anybody any of the new tricks.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's multiple steps or multiple things in there that'll provide.
Exactly.
So how do I set that up then? Like, what am I actually, like when I create and upload, like how do I put those parameters in there?
Yeah. So first of all, we are Splitify products for like, I would say two layers. The first one is production layer, where you just can produce whatever content without any verification, just based on subscription, right? Mm-hmm. You are just buying computes, you are just buying our technology, and you are using this compute for produce and calculate these images, videos, audios, and all of these things. But if you would like to put your identity to the marketplace, you have to register your identity, you have to register your accounts, and right after that, you're like having access to this space. Well, first of all, this space have two separate, I would say, columns. Mm-hmm. The first one with social media, where you can like post contents and all of this content verified with the blockchain and with your accounts. And others, when they're seeing your posts with, I don't know, your like photo shoot or video shoot or podcast, they can press a button like, wow, I would like to run this digital twin and to do this and that.
Huh.
Right on the contents, like special button you're pressing and you're coming to the special space to run this identity. And you are paying for like separate images, videos, and all of these things, like license fee, I would say.
So,
but
could I could my digital twin like do my interviews for me? In, like theory, like if I programmed it well enough, like could I have hit? Like, I don't need to do it necessarily anymore. I could just rent myself out.
Yeah. First of all, right now we are focusing more of offline.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say when offline.
The answer is
but
yes.
In our road.
No. You will be replaced.
Yeah. But
eventually, yes.
But beginning of next year, we will launch real time solution as well.
Yeah.
Where you can put your identity in real time. And you no need anymore to be a part of this podcast. It's not going to be adult.
That's the thing I enjoy.
You
know.
No. Oh, you can do it.
I know, right?
It's up to you.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe I don't like doing the live reads. Maybe I get my agent to do that instead.
Do the beginning, and then you do the end, and then the middle is kind of AI.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. But do you know what? In this case, what are the interesting points? You can do like 10 or 100 podcasts on the same time with different languages.
Right.
Chinese, like Hindi, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then you are covering more markets for you. Mm-hmm. And this is quite interesting and promising. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think YouTube actually launched a dub feature recently to kind of similar like that. Yeah.
Correct.
Interesting. I want to ask you, it looks like you have an ICO coming up like in a few days.
Uh-huh.
I think we're recording this on the 13th, so I don't think this will be out before the ICO, but did you want to talk about that at all? TGE, like what the plan is there, or what the vision is?
First of all, how I mentioned before, we signed up an agreement with Cointelegraph to cover our marketing activities, I would say, with articles like interview, podcast, and a session.
Congratulations, by the way, that's huge.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's really huge. And for now, we're already selected, like with whom we're going to work with. I mean to say, Sexus, Dexus, and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just today, we are announced Maxi, and I'm not sure what we are going to announce when podcast is going to be live. That's why I don't want to spoil some like common announcements, because we have something really heavy in good sense from our sides with announcements. When we will bring like new users to our platform, to our token, to operate with us. But I just would like to highlight which type of announcements and partnerships we already have.
Yeah.
One of our like partner is Aether company. Aether right now have $3 billion FDV on coin market cap.
Yeah.
And they are going to Nasdaq next three months.
Oh.
So, and Mark Ryden, the co-founder of Aether, he's our advisor in Antics. And this is really big help for us to be aligned with the strategic vision to execute with less, I would say, mistakes. Because their business model have similar things between Web2, Web3 community and fiat payments / token payments. That's why we have some interesting points here.
You mentioned too that the other Aether being going on Nasdaq. Is that ultimately your goal, to get listed on one of those exchanges?
Yeah. End of the day, for sure, strategy is to have IPO or M&A deal for the company. That's for sure. Or like continue running the company and to grow the company for above and beyond.
Right. Exactly. Oh, so there's one other question that I wanted to ask you then. As a creator then, Roman, this should be something that I think you probably is near and dear to your heart. But what do you make of like the usage rights of content, or the things that are training all these AI models? Mm-hmm. Like especially we're seeing a big rise in like these song generating sites where you can come in and like just type in some prompts and like get new songs popped up. But they're being trained on basically like the entire world's like artists' collection. And I don't think any of those guys are getting any sort of compensation for that.
Yeah, but do you know what's like, this is actually not, for my opinion, is clear like topic. I mean to say, this is also two sides of the coin.
Yes.
Right? What are the sides, I mean to say? First of all, we like biological organisms, we also train our brain based on like content from outside, right?
Yeah.
Like we're like a provider and the collector of this like historical audio or images, whatever, and we're using just what humanity built it before to create our own. The same happening with AI.
Mm-hmm.
And for now, it's really hard to regulate it based on different like industries first, second, geographic. Because for example, Europe is really complicated for like regulations.
Yeah.
Right? More easy, I would say, like Japan or Asia in general. Dubai as well, by the way.
Hmm.
US also have like really, I would say, flexible and free markets, but more regulated than Asia. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also, it depends, you know. In our case, we're used like licensed contents, like, and open libraries to train it, and also synthetic contents to train models,
mm-hmm.
which is like really familiar and I would say a famous technique on the market right now to use like synthetic contents.
Okay. Roman, so we kind of heard a little bit about what you guys have been doing then. Like, do you want to tell us then, I guess, what you guys got on the horizon? Like, what's coming up for Antix?
Yeah. Actually, we are like already over-delivered our roadmap to the markets.
Yeah.
Next year, we're going to achieve like new layers of our technology because we do think to build our own chain to provide verification for any type of content based on our chain. Because for now we're using Base, BNB, and Ethereum for mm-hmm. different like purpose, like a multi-chain. But to have our own, it will be really relevant for our Web3 industry, Web3 audience, I would say.
Yeah.
So this is the first thing what we are working on. Another thing, we are like focusing for AGI as well, because honestly, all of the companies who is working with AI, the main strategy to build AGI. And no matter what, it's like will depends of LLM system or visual systems, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All of us who is working in this area looks and like working the same to build AGI. We are just more familiar with entertainments. This is why we came from this industry, right? Based on like creative economy experience, this market is huge. And with our tech, we definitely knew how to like, we can penetrate correctly and how we can get our like percentages and part mm-hmm. of this markets to grow faster and then to achieve our final goals. So, and it's really time consuming because like we have not enough time to be competitive with gigantic companies, right? Everything is moving so fast. We already like fired, to be honest, a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
For what reason? We don't need them anymore.
Right.
We're changing them with AI agents. And this is honestly like a revolution, what's happened with 200 years back, right? With like machines, with factories and all of these things.
Right.
Where people have been afraid, it's like, wow, what's happening? What we're going to do? But then we're like, this industry's just opens a new like works, right? Jobs, type of jobs.
Roman, just want to point out, I've heard the famous example has been when the ATM was introduced, right? When that first came out and got big, everyone thought that bank tellers are going to be made obsolete by that. But there's actually more bank tellers now than there was when ATMs were first introduced. What the ATM did was it freed up the people that were working at the banks to be able to do other things. It just made them more productive. And I think that's what we're finding with AI agents. It's making your team members, the ones that you keep around, it's making them more productive because they're just, it's a force multiplier, right? You're allowing them to do a lot more with less.
Yeah, 100%. And do you know what's like AI also the important point for robots? And the robots is the next big thing, which cannot happen without AI.
Yeah.
In general, right? Because content, this is like, honestly, this more so like a joke, I would say. This is like fun. This is interesting to like to spend time with that, but it's not life changer, I would say. Maybe emotionally, you know, just to release your emotions or to feel something. But based on like practice, it's less effective if it's not education content, right? But we cannot say the same for AI in general and for robots itself. And you can imagine where just we'll no need anymore any like physical work with robots, right? Because robots will change us, will switch us for themselves. And this is really a futuristic question. What is our purpose to be existed like a humanity? What we are going to do?
Right.
And this is really interesting, in my opinion.
Do you have an answer to that?
I think we will face with a problem. Like this is going to be like a paradise, you know, where people will face with no issue. I mean to say for without mental issues, without health issues, we will have all the resources rather than like, I don't know, like energy, which we're really hungry.
It's the one we're close energy. To. If we can get free energy, then it unlocks a lot of things, doesn't it?
Wow. Yeah, it's right? Phenomenal. But in this case, we definitely need to change the, I would say, the structure of governments, right? The global, like, orients. Because right now we're moving with capitalism, and capitalism, really great driver of technology and all of these competitive things like a sport, right? But on the other hand, we have dark side of capitalism, which is like numbers is winning always. And people are behind of it. And sometimes regulation cannot be on the same line with interest of the corporations, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes what corporations is providing, this is like opposite what exactly where like biological, I would say, organisms are need.
You're saying Walmart doesn't have my best interest at heart?
No. I don't. Like, I'm just fantasizing.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
You know?
Roman, I think that's an excellent point to, I think, probably put a pin in this one then. Unless you guys have any final thoughts, you want to tell us where people can go if they want to learn more about the products? I think we've got, what, antics.in, bequantum.ai. Quantum.ai. Anything else you guys want to point the listeners to or places to go check out to learn more?
Yeah, I just would like to provide CTA for the people. People can easily find us in social media, antics.ai. Our product is H, our platform, and bequantum.ai as well. Because we will make an announcement of our partnership really soon. I mean to say an official one, this more like exclusive, I would say, interview, which is also interesting. And we will bring more visibility for this part of our business because it's like one of the layer which we didn't touch today, but really interesting.
Oh, which layer is that? Do I need to make a note for next time?
Yeah, definitely.
What was the
this
layer?
This is about financial security with Quantum and our debit and credit cards.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be a fun one. We'll have to come back and do that one for sure. Thank you guys both for your time. Newman, your kids did a great job. They did not bust in once. So you need
tied them up. We tied them up. Oh,
I was going to say you need to buy them some ice cream or something for behaving so well.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing you guys around, and I'll definitely be checking up on Antics and playing around on that website now that I know I have a helper for my social media.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for joining us in the Winner's Circle. If you found this conversation valuable, please subscribe and share it with other investors and founders in your network.
Roman and Antix are gearing up for their token generation event and have already secured partnerships with major players like Aether, who's heading to their own NASDAQ listing in the coming months. They're backed by strategic advisors who've built billion-dollar companies and are tackling a market that's growing exponentially as AI-generated content becomes ubiquitous. You can learn more about Antix at antix.ai. You can check out their new AIGE platform. For Numan's quantum security work, you can visit bquantum.ai. Both founders are active on LinkedIn, where they share updates on their progress. If you're an investor interested in the intersection of AI, security, and the creator economy, these are two companies worth watching closely. The question isn't whether AI-generated content will become mainstream. It's already here. The question is, who will build the infrastructure to make it trustworthy and monetizable? Until next time, keep building, keep investing, and keep listening.
Produced by China Shop Productions.